We are in the doctrine of the growing seed. The doctrine of the growing seed. We have one more Bible doctrine to get to before we finish the parable, rather, of the growing seed. The doctrine we have to get to is the doctrine of death. So the parable of the growing seed, that's found only in the book of Mark in chapter 4, verse 26. And that's Mark chapter 4, verse 26. We'll review that parable, and then we'll get into the doctrine of death, which is found in your book, Christian Doctrines. And we have the new version out, the fourth edition, which is 2026, has a green cover. You should have the electronic version, but if you'd like a hard copy, we will be more than happy to mail you one. And of course, with everything with this ministry, there's no fee, no charge, no mailing fee, nothing. If you want a copy, just let us know. Send me an email. Send an email to Teresa Atticott at Gmail, or you can send it to Christian Doctrine Ministries at Gmail. We'll get it. Or you can call me or text me, and we'll make sure we get you a book ASAP. So, prior to our Bible study this afternoon, we're going to spend a few moments in silent prayer, giving us the opportunity to use the rebound technique, because that's absolutely critical for the Christian way of life. It's the power source. And without that power source energized, you're not going anywhere. You can hear the words, but they will do you no good, because you've got to get Bible doctrine from the Bible and put it into your soul. As we know, that's how you glorify God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Read that passage really quick. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. That's us. He's a rewarder of those that seek him. How do you seek God? Study Bible doctrine. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. Yes, you don't see God, as we talked about last time on Sunday, when we studied that verse in Peter. But we see him through the word. And therefore, when you rely on God's promises, he is a rewarder to you, because that's how you glorify God. You take in the Bible doctrine that he has provided, you apply that to the exigencies of life, to the problems, and you move forward. And we all have problems in life, aspirations, hopes, etc., etc. If you're older, you're kind of looking back, but you still got time on the game clock. If you're younger, you're moving up the road. So all of us are in the same basket. Let's go to the, again, let's use the rebound technique. We're doing it online today. I actually see an audience here. I don't see any newcomers. I think you've all heard the doctrine of rebound before. You simply name a known sin, and you are put back into fellowship with God the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're already in fellowship with God the Holy Spirit, you don't need to rebound. You can simply use this time as an opportunity to engage in silent prayer to your Creator. So let us pray. Father, thank you again for the privilege of gathering here to study your word. We know that you have provided everything for us. We do not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future, and that is you. For each one of us, you had us personally in mind when you developed the plan of salvation, and your son had us personally in mind when he bore our sins on the cross. We thank that you provided for everything. All we have to do is to bend our will to your will, so that we can design ourselves in a way that pleases you in this life. In Christ's name, amen. So let's review the parable really quickly before we get to the doctrine of death, because the parable does end with the sickle cutting down the crop, and that's death. Let's look at it again. Mark chapter 4, verse 26, and he was saying, this is Jesus, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. Now, Mark also has the parable right before this about the sower of the soils, and that parable is covered in several of the other gospels, but this is a parable of the growing seed that's only found in the book of Matthew, of Mark, rather, verse 27 of chapter 4. And he goes to bed at night, and he gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows, how he himself does not know. Well, this is us. We don't know. We don't know what the future holds for us. And therefore, as we move forward in life, we know, of course, that the mission statement is for us to learn Bible doctrine. Now, whether that will take you to Louisiana or to Nebraska or to Timbuktu, we have no idea. Are you going to, go to the left, go to the right, meet this person, meet that person, have this experience, have that experience? We don't know. But God knows, and God has predestined you in eternity past to reach maturity. He knows every mistake you'll make. He knows every decision you're going to make. He's never caught by surprise. God makes no mistakes, and you will not be the first mistake. It's impossible. So we don't really know how these things will pan out and how they'll fall out in our lives, but we know that these things grow. And you take in Bible doctrine, you will grow to be a spiritually mature believer as directed. It will happen. And so that's what that means. Verse 28, the soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. God doesn't need your help. And that's what this means. God produces these things. All you have to do is provide your free will, positive volition to your Creator. And it's He that does everything. A lot of people in the Christian way of life, they think they got to go out and hustle and do this and do that and do the other thing and build this building and do this and, engage in all sorts of human good and pray for the people that are not, as well off as you are, whatever that means, and do all sorts of things. It's meaningless. God controls history. Satan's the ruler of the world, but He controls history. And if you want to line up with God, that's a wonderful, positive decision. If you say, well, I don't want to line up with either one, there's no such thing. There's no neutral ground. There's no Switzerland in this war. If you're not with God, you're against God, and you're in Satan's system of thinking. So don't fool yourself. You're either in one or the other. So God produces all these things, and He's got it. He can make these things grow. He can make you grow. He provided for your salvation, and He can provide all the things you need to get to spiritual maturity. Not a problem at all. Verse 29. But when the crop permits, at some point, the crop is going to grow to a mature level, and then you're going to have to harvest the crop. If you leave the corn in the field too long, it turns hard, and it's not good for human consumption. You can still use it for animal consumption. Same with tomatoes. You can't leave them on the vine. There's a certain time when you have to pick the tomato. You have to pick the crop. You have to harvest the wheat. And God knows exactly the timing for that. You are that person. And He will harvest you as it is at His perfect timing. And that day is already set. Every single day has already been written for your life and my life. And that day is you're one day closer to it. And that page will close, that book will close on you at some point. But here the analogy, of course, the metaphor is the crop. But when the crop permits, He immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. And that's the end of the parable. So obviously you see that this requires us to look at the doctrine of death. And that's always a good thing when you talk to people about Christian doctrines. If they ask you anything, you can say, hey, do you know how many deaths there are in the Bible? There are 9 types of deaths described in the Bible. Can you name 3? Can you name 2? Well, obviously we can name at least 1. That's physical death. But there's 8 other types of death in the Bible. So this refers to physical death in the parable. Obviously it's your time out. And that's when you're going to be taken off the earth and God permitting a new generation will come forward and we'll see how much positive volition is in that generation. So let's look at the doctrine of death as we go through the final stages of this parable of the growing seed. Seed is, grows. It reaches that point. When the time is right, as the parable said, it will be harvested. So we've got on page 144, and again, I'll hold up our new book, nice green color, 4th edition, 2026. All the pages are the same from the 3rd edition. We just rearranged some materials to make it more readable and understandable, and corrected a few typos here and there along the way. So it's on page 144, the doctrine of death. If you do not have the electronic version, we will also send you the electronic version. You can put that on your social media device of some sort and go straight to it without having the big bulky book. I myself like big bulky books. I'm in the older generation, obviously. And in fact, some of the younger generation, they like books as well. So whatever you are most comfortable with, or you can have both, we'll send them to you. So one, the first type of death in the Bible is obviously physical death, and we have on page 144. The unbeliever's human soul separates from the body at physical death and goes to hell. The believer human soul slash spirit. Remember, when you're born again, one of the 40 things you receive is a human spirit. It's merged onto your soul. It'll never be separated again. That's why we have a soul slash spirit. Unbeliever, they're a dichotomous being. They have a physical body and they have a soul, but they do not have a human spirit. Why do you need the human spirit? It provides for that relationship ability for you and your creator, because without a human spirit, you cannot metabolize, take in Bible doctrine, have a fellowship with God. It's the target point where God imputes eternal life, the righteousness of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all these other aspects. So you have a human spirit, and that's a critical part of your life as a believer. So your human soul and spirit, it will separate from your body at physical death, and it will go to heaven. We have verses there that you can look at. In either case, the elements, the core elements, the chemical elements that make up the physical body, they'll disintegrate into the earth. Now, you might be killed in combat and get blown to smithereens in a million pieces. Doesn't matter. If you want to be cremated, doesn't matter. If you want to have the corpse put in a box and buried in the ground, doesn't matter. The physical body will disintegrate. It goes back to the dust. Look up the doctrine of life. But there's two different categories. So one for the believer, one for the unbeliever. Ecclesiastes 12:7. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit, and that word is ruach, which means soul life, will return to God who gave it. And that's exactly right. God is the one that imputes the nefshama. And so your soul and spirit will return to God the Father. Jesus Christ died to save your soul, not to save your body. So people do all sorts of things with their bodies and massage it and do this and do that and whatever, and that's fine. You can do all those things to prop things up. Nice to have a healthy body, a physical body that's the tent for your soul. Nothing wrong with that at all. But it's fallen apart. It's infected with the old sin nature. We talk about disease that infect you, and we live in a fallen world, obviously, and you're encased in a fallen structure. It's a wonderful structure, but it's going to break down. 1a, God's timing. The time of the physical death for everyone is a matter of the sovereignty of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So God is not slow about anything. Part of the plan of God is as many people, God's directive will, number one, a better way to put it, is that all humans should be saved. All humans are not saved because humans have free will. Directive will number two, and that's the parable of the growing seed, is that all believers reach maturity. That doesn't happen either. If you are under the ministry of a prepared pastor teacher that's a serious student of the Word of God, then you have the tools to get to maturity. Then it's simply your decision, will you do it or will you not do it? And that's a matter of your scale of priorities in life. Then we have point B, salvation opportunity is cut off. Physical death ends the opportunity for the unbeliever to be saved. And insomuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. This is a verse for the unbelievers. Their judgment will be the great white throne judgment. And we've already studied in the context of this parable, the doctrine of judgment, the two categories of judgment. And your opportunity is cut off. Job 27:8, just one passage. For what hope? What is the hope of the godless? This is the unbeliever. When he is cut off, when God requires his life. Well, what's your hope? There is no hope. That's it. When your time's up, your time's up. As long as you're alive, though, if you're an unbeliever, you still have equal opportunity to be saved. So we really can't say that that person's going to hell, this person's going to heaven, if you don't know them. But if it's an unbeliever, well, you don't know. They could, at the very last second, believe in Christ. And that does happen. The thief on the cross is a prime example. He's on the cross. He's down to, who knows, a matter of minutes, hours, before he believed that Jesus Christ had died for his sons. He heard the gospel of sins, and he believed it. Didn't do any good deeds. He didn't say, I'm sorry. He wasn't dunked in water. He didn't count beads. None of that nonsense. And there's nothing in there about he repented tears of repentance. No, he just said, Father. He said, Lord, Kurios, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's all that's recorded. There's no groveling. There's none of that stuff. And what was the answer? Yes, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, his body didn't go to paradise, but his soul went to paradise. And that was the compartment where all believers went to prior to the ascension of Jesus Christ, who took all the believers out of that compartment of hell called paradise when in his resurrection body, when he ascended and went up to be evaluated by God the Father, Operation Footstool. And he was accepted into the third heaven, and right behind him, all the believers also came into the third heaven. Because until that moment, no human went to the third heaven. Elijah and all these Enoch and stuff, they didn't go to the third heaven. They might have saw him going up in a chariot or a cloud, but they did a quick U-turn and went right down to hell, to paradise. The first human that ever went to the third heaven was Jesus Christ in 30 AD. And if he was not accepted by God the Father, none of us are accepted. But he was accepted, and we're in union with Christ in the church age, and so we're accepted as well. And every believer is now accepted because of the work of Christ and the fact that God the Father evaluated his humanity and said, yes, you may have this relationship. In fact, not only that, but sit here at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Sitting at the right hand of God the Father is the highest place of honor. And that's where we're at today on the time scale, dispensational theology. And then we already looked at Hebrews 9, 27, 28. You can read that for yourself. Luke 12, 19 to 21. Here's a case of wrong priorities. And I, this is the unbeliever, will say to my soul, soul, you have many good, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, Aphron, and that means one without reason. This very night, your soul is required. And that word means to demand back. At physical death, the soul would depart from the body. So again, this very night, your soul is required of you, and now you will own, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Well, that's a double application, one for the unbeliever. Not rich towards God, you're not a believer. And what about the believer? Well, believers do the same thing. And they don't store up treasure towards God, most believers. They don't. And how do you do that? Take in Bible doctrine. They don't do that. The judgment seat of Christ, they will not receive these rewards because God's a rewarder of those that have done what he's commanded us to do, to take his mind and put it into our mind and then use those tools to handle the problems and the issues, the various adversities of life. That's what we're supposed to do. That's how God's glorified. Ezekiel 28:10, you will die the death of the uncircumcised. That's a synonym for the unbeliever. What's the death of the unbeliever? You're dead, you go to hell. And hell is a compartment called torments in the center of the earth somewhere, maybe not be the exact center, but it's below the earth, according to the Bible. And these souls will be brought up, and they will stand before the great white throne judgment at some point in the future. And then we've got blessings to the believer. For the believer, death means nothing to us. Look at this passage. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 55-57. Unbelievers can't say that. They have no victory. Death consumes them, and they will be swallowed up, and we'll not get to spiritual death today, but they're going to die spiritual death. When they die physical death, they will face a spiritual death, which is separation from their Creator for all eternity. The believer is not only saved, but God will not take a believer home to heaven until he has given every possible blessing to him compatible with his justice. Accordingly, even the loser believer gets certain amounts of divine grace blessings despite his total indifference to or rejection of Bible doctrine. Why? Well, because all believers have the righteousness of God in their soul slash spirit. And therefore, What the righteousness of God requires, the justice of God must execute. So the unbeliever does not have God's righteousness. That's why the justice of God comes down on their head. You, whatever your status is, you're either a baby believer, a reversionistic believer, an adolescent believer, a mature believer, you get certain amounts of blessings because you have God's righteousness. You are in his family and you can never get out. You can blow off Bible doctrine from this day forward. You'll be in heaven. You'll have certain amounts of blessings, logistical grace blessings. Look up the doctrine of grace. But you're not going to have the above and beyond blessings that the mature believer will have. And you do it to yourself. You can't say, well, somebody did this to me. No, you did it to yourself. You knew, particularly if you're in this Bible ministry, you know what God calls you to do. You either do it or you don't do it. But the good news is that God knew all about us, knew all about all of us a long time ago. So the fact that you go to these faraway places as the parable of the prodigal son to a distant journey, if you're still alive, there's still time to get back. Rebound and keep moving is the key to success for every believer. Rebound as many times as you have to per day and keep moving. Keep studying Bible doctrine. And we have 2 Corinthians 5:8 at the bottom of page 145. We, this is believers, are of good courage. I, this is Paul speaking, say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Okay, so that's Paul's attitude. He'd rather be at home with the Lord and absent from the body, the physical body. The physical body's not going anywhere. We already said that it goes back to dirt. But of course, Paul also wrote that it was for the benefit of the congregation that he was then teaching and the benefit to us, because this is 2,000 years on, and that Bible doctrine that Paul put out in writing, we don't have everything that Paul said in his Bible classes, just like we don't have everything that Jesus said in his Bible classes, but we have all the information we need to have to reach spiritual maturity in the New Testament, and of course, the Old Testament is a supplement as well. But the New Testament is where the mystery doctrines are. So we have everything we need in writing in our hands to move forward. Our Christian doctrines is merely an aid and a study guide because doctrines are set out in the Bible categorically. This is the doctrine of death. So every passage you read, when you get to death, well, you know there's 9 deaths, and once you reach a certain level, you can say, well, that passage about death falls into this category or falls into that category. So the physical death is what we're studying now. Obviously, there's a lot of passages about physical death. Point D on page 146, prolong life. God prolongs life for the positive volition believer, for you have delivered my soul from death. Proverbs 56:13. For by me, this is Bible doctrine, your days will be multiplied and your years of life will be added to you and years of life will be added to you. God can't lie. He will add years of life to you. Why? Because that's what Bible doctrine does for you. So when it says, for by me, who's the me? Bible doctrine. Your days will be multiplied and years of life will be added to you. So praying to continue to live in order to reach spiritual maturity, in order to reach spiritual maturity and the rewards which God promises to glorify him mirrors the directive will of God, as I've written here. That's what God wants. So if you have that prayer, doctrine of prayer, that prayer will be answered. If you really intend that prayer to be true, because a lot of people say things they don't mean, but if you really have that desire, I want to know my Creator, I want to reach maturity, he will keep you alive until you reach maturity. Why? Because that's his directive will for your life, and it matches up. That's the perfect prayer to pray. On the other hand, reversionism can cause the believer's death. We have a passage here taken from Ecclesiastes 7, 17 to 18. Why should you die before your time? That's a rhetorical question to the believer. Why should you die before your time? Well, you shouldn't. It is good that you grasp one thing. That's long life, because I guarantee you, if you ask any given person, do you want to have a long life? They'll say, yeah. So it is good that you grasp one thing, long life, and also not let go of the other. What's the other? Bible doctrine. Do not let go of Bible doctrine. be dedicated to Bible doctrine. For the one who fears God comes forth with both of them. The fear of God here means the respect for God. You come forth with both of them. You get a long life and you reach spiritual maturity. And the Bible can't lie. So grab both of them. You want a long life? There's the key. Now we have one of the first promises of God about long life is one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother, your days will be prolonged in the earth. But this is far beyond that. Far beyond that. And that's a wonderful passage. We've got Proverbs 3, 1 to 2. My son, do not forget my teaching. This is Solomon, of course, writing to his son. But let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Same concept. They will add these things to you. And then we have, of course, dying grace. Physical death is, you're going to have dying grace. That's part of physical death. That wonderful passage, of course, Psalm 23, the whole thing. In his grace, God provides all things necessary for the mature believer when physical death does arrive. This is called dying grace. And I'm not going to read Psalm 23 to you. You can read it for yourself. In fact, you should memorize that if you're going to memorize portions of the Word of God. Very comforting. And it promises these rewards and the blessings that God had for you. And then at the very end, it says, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. Actually, it means it will chase after you. You dedicate yourself to Bible doctrine and prosperity will chase after you. It will run after you all the days of your life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord for how long? Forever. David understood he has eternal life. When he dies, physical death, he's going to have a wonderful time with physical life. But with physical death, he's looking forward, as Paul was. I'm going to be absent from the body. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever for all eternity. And then we've got true love. True love in marriage can be as strong as the finality of physical death. And that passage is Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6. For love is as strong as death. That's very true. It's as strong as death. The Bible says it is, and it is. Point G, confidence. Physical death cannot be faced with dignity by believers who reject Bible doctrine. You don't have Bible doctrine, you're going to be screaming and complaining and going out in a miserable fashion when death comes to you. If you got Bible doctrine, you know God has a purpose for you. Maybe he's putting you in the old folks' home so you can give the gospel to other people. And I've been to old folks' homes. You would think, well, these old people there, they've learned a lot of Bible doctrine. They know, no, 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 no. Nope, not at all. But perhaps if that's your calling, you'll be put in the old folks' home at some point, and you can actually give the gospel and talk to people about Bible doctrine. Maybe that's what's in store for you. I have no idea. But whatever it is, the sickle will come, as the parable says, when the time is right. When the time is right. And then the next point, H, it's a reminder. Physical death is a reminder of the following facts. One, shortness of one's time on the earth. Now, you see other people dropping here, dropping there, as we say in the military, falling out of the march. It should be a reminder to you that one day you will fall out of the march, and it should, you know, dawn on you that your time too is short, and therefore make the most of your time by learning the Word of God. Point two, fame and fortune are fleeting. And this is interesting because I have many law students that come and go. I've been doing this for 20-something years. And I'll mention a particular movie that's very popular in my day, very popular movie stars, and they look at me like, who? But at one time, these people were the cat's meow. They were celebrated everywhere in Hollywood. Everybody knew them, their names on their lips, the movies are there, the lines are there. But 20 years, 30 years later, who are they? They don't know. If you drive down some of these roads in Texas and other roads, you'll see a road like we have a road called Ralph Fair Road. Been going down that road for years. I don't know who Ralph Fair is. At one time, somebody knew who Ralph, must have been a famous person of some sort. Nobody knows who these people are. So the fame and the fortune that you lust after, it's very fleeting. And the most you're going to get is somebody's going to pat you on the head. Oh, you're so wonderful. You're so this and you're so that. Who cares? You want to have God's attention, not the attention of mankind. Your audience that you play to is not other people. You play to an audience of one, and that's God. What does he think about what you are doing with the time? Oh, that's right, that he gave you. You didn't give yourself this time. He gave it to you. Okay. And the third point, of course, you better get prepared. Well, the third point, to prepare for eternity. How do you prepare for eternity? Well, make hay while the sun's shining is an old idiom. It's a farming idiom. Study Bible doctrine now. That's the best way you can prepare for eternity. If you're an unbeliever, become a believer. If you're a believer, get busy. Get busy. And the last point, four, the certainty of judgment for the unbeliever. That is a reminder. Unbeliever is without hope. And the certainty of their judgment, that's it. When they die, it's over. When you die, you will have eternity with your Creator as a believer. Now, there are variations in heaven, obviously, and there's a few believers that will reach maturity. And I say a few because, yes, that's what the Bible says. There's not many. Revelation 21:4, and he, this is God, will wipe away, point I. What believers can anticipate at physical death? Well, what's going to happen when I physically die? Well, one, no hell. You're not going to hell. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's you. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Law of sin and death is going to get the unbeliever. It's passed from you. It can't touch you. Death has no victory over you. Sin has no sting over you. Unless a particular believer is alive at the rapture, well, he will be transformed. A believer only dies once. So at the rapture, of course, the believer is going to be transformed. You're going to get your resurrection body immediately. If that doesn't happen to you and you're not in that generation, then you're going to die a physical death and you will be waiting for your resurrection body, which will occur at the rapture at that event for the church age. So one, no hell. Two, yes, heaven. That's what I've got. Yes, heaven. Going to heaven where there is no more pain or the old sin nature. Paul stated, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord, as we indicated before. We got the longer passage on that. Yes, he's of good courage. And he prefers to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. And he's got the we here because that's what all believers really are looking forward to. It's a promotion. You're going to get promoted. And then we have Revelation 21:4. And he, God, will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the believer. And there will no longer be any death. Thanatos. That word means the implied idea of future misery in hell after you die. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. And then it says, the first things have passed away. And protos, that means first in time, the things he just listed for you, they're all gone. So you can have extreme physical pain in old age, but that's the only opportunity God has to test you with that physical pain. Is Bible doctrine more strong? Can you endure it? And the answer is, if you have Bible doctrine, yes, you can. Philippians, and then rewards, three. No hell, yes, heaven, and then the rewards. That's the judgment seat of Christ. You can look forward to having the evaluation and fantastic rewards beyond your imagination. 1 Corinthians on the next page, 148, 2:9. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared, and this is what God has done before the foundation of the world, for those who love him. Well, that's right. That's the rewards. See, there's the kicker. For those that love him, this talks about the eternal rewards above and beyond your resurrection body. So who loves God? The mature believer loves God. The baby believer, you can't love what you don't know. Good analogy to physical birth. Babies don't love you. Oh, my baby loves me. No, they don't. They don't have the capacity to love you. In fact, you're going to probably have to wait until the kid's in their 20s when they figure out all the things you've done for them. Some kids get a little earlier, some a little later. And then with God, you can't love what you don't know, as we've said many times, and that's the purpose of Bible doctrine. So you can know God. And therefore, you can say with confidence, I know God. I know the doctrines. Because when you know the doctrines, the Bible is said to be the mind of Christ, the Word of God, and the breath of the Holy Spirit. So that's what this book is. It is God. It's what God has revealed to us. And so if you love God, these rewards are bestowed on you. And you can't even imagine what they're like, where it says, eye is not seen, ear is not heard. You can't even enter into your brain what it's like. It's fantastic, the above and beyond rewards for the mature believer. And just the rewards for the normal believer are fantastic as well. So we've run out of our time today, so we'll pick it up on Thursday at this point. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, Father, we thank you for the privilege, once again, of studying your word and having you remind us of these things over and over and over again so we can set our priorities, sail our ship straight to the course that you would have us, which is to reach spiritual maturity. And once we reach that high ground, to hold the high ground and to glorify you, awaiting for the time when you will call us home. In Christ's name, amen.